Gavin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being deported after you served your nation's military. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. Pip and Joe will be here shortly. Going to do the first part of the show alone. Got a good show for you tonight. On the show, a U.S. Army veteran faces deportation. U.S. Army veteran faces deportation. We'll catch up with President Barack Obama. Debut a new song about Donald Trump from comedian Daryl Rhodes. Comics in the news featuring full frontal Samantha Bee issuing an apology. And WikiLeaks shares some CIA secrets regarding how they spy. But first, I just came back from a tour of the West. I was in Arizona and Nevada. Beautiful country out there. Really enjoyed myself. I was confronted with something I had not been confronted with before. I was doing a sold-out casino, and it turns out that there's a mentally handicapped person at the show. There was actually a couple, though, but this is not a big deal. I've performed for the mentally handicapped before. They've been part of shows. Sometimes they'll come in large groups. You know, it's not a big deal. It's fine. They're usually well-behaved. You don't know exactly what they comprehend, what they don't comprehend, but you do your show, and people know they're there. It's not a big deal. Now, before the show starts, the club makes an announcement, please not to disturb the people around you, because they don't want people talking and yelling at the comic and talking to each other and checking their phones or outbursts, that this, that, the other. So, I'm doing the show, and this mentally handicapped woman is having outbursts, you know, just making noises like moaning, like, oh, oh. That kind of sounded spooky. I didn't mean it like that. But she's making noises. Now, stand-up comedy, obviously a lot of it's based on talking, but silence, spacing, pausing, that's all very important. So whenever I pause, I loudly hear this woman. And it kind of screws up the flow, because you're not used to that. You're used to people listening, used to be the silence, used to giving them a look, because you're just trying to get a desired effect. So what do? You can't tell the disabled person to be quiet. You can't goof on a disabled person, mentally disabled person. You can't do that. You goof on the mentally disabled. You're a heel. Everybody's going to hate you. Show's over. Worst comedian ever. No, and I wouldn't want to do that. These people, you know, have been through enough. But what do? Because if it's disturbing me and throwing me off, you know it has to be affecting the people around them, right? They hear it too, right? So what do if you're that person? If you're in the audience, are you going to, you know, tell the mentally handicapped person to quiet down, to hush up, to please be quiet? You can't do that. I mean, you could, but then everybody's going to look at you like you're a heel. What do if you're the club? I mean, once they're in, once they've come to the show, are you going to kick them out? You don't want to do that because, you know, people are going to complain. And again, you're the heel. You've kicked out the mentally handicapped person. What do? Do you not let them in? Do you go, oh, hey, we can't have you in here. There might be outbursts. I mean, you don't anticipate outbursts. What are you going to do? Now you're the place that doesn't allow handicapped people. You know you can't do that. That's discrimination. What do? I don't think there's an easy answer. I think it comes down to the caregiver, to be honest with you. I think that's what it comes down to. The caregiver has to make the decision. Can this person handle being at this type of event where they will enjoy themselves and not disturb the people around them? I mean, you got to make that call. Listen, I get it, man. You're a caretaker. That is a hard job, whether it's your kid or not your kid. That is a hard job. I mean, that's a 24/7 job. You want to go out. I get it. Now, the caretaker, I did notice out of the corner of my eye, at times, was trying to put a towel in this woman's mouth, with this disabled woman's mouth. I guess to give her something to bite down. And, you know, if it's not a handicapped person, you see that going on, you're going to comment on it. But I see this going on, I'm not going to comment on it. I mean, so the caregiver is trying to keep this woman quiet. But wouldn't it be just better to take the disabled woman outside, have her collect herself. Isn't that the move? I kind of think that is. I kind of think that is the move. But I guess maybe you don't want to make a scene. I don't know. And I take, and yeah, you know, as a performer, I don't know how much of the show they're enjoying, not enjoying. There's no way I can know that. I take pictures with them afterwards. You know, happy to take pictures, shake hands, of course. But you don't know how much they're enjoying, especially with somebody, you know, is having outbursts. So, I mean, she's making noise, so how much is she really hearing? But at a comedy club, you're used to more distractions. You're used to hecklers, unfortunately. You're used to people making loud drink orders. You're used to drunks yelling out stuff. You're used to table talk conversation. You're used to all these things. That's just the type of entertainment it is. You're just used to it. But what happens if you go to Broadway? Now, say you go see Hamilton. People spend $200, $300, $400,000. I don't know. These tickets are ridiculous. And now you're sitting next to somebody who's having outbursts. What do you do? And I'll tell you this. Broadway shows and the theater in general have a lot lower tolerance for extraneous noise than a comedy club. I mean, you get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of a performance of Broadway. People are giving you dirty looks like you're a cad. So what do? You spent all this money. You saved up. You've been looking forward to it. And now you have this person making outbursts. What do? Again, you can't say anything. I mean, can you imagine an usher dragging somebody out in a wheelchair? Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that. I think it just comes down to the caregiver. Again, I think that, I think what it comes down to is what so much of our interactions with the public come down to. Courtesy. And there's not really a lot of that. I've talked about that before on this show. We seem to be a country that lacks courtesy more and more, treat each other rude and worry about ourselves more. But is it cold? Is it cold to say, hey, don't bring this person here because they're going to disturb other people? I mean, let's be real. A mentally handicapped person is dealing with a lot more than the average person who goes to a show. I mean, they just are. So aren't they entitled to have a good time? It's really a difficult situation. And nobody wants to be the bad guy. Nobody wants to be the one that kicks out the handicapped or make the handicapped feel worse. I mean, what type of despicable human being would that be? I mean, besides, you know, what other people think of you, I mean, you've got to be a pretty big lowlife to want to do that to somebody else. And I don't think you do. So I don't think there's an easy answer. But I think it's something that you should definitely think about. If you're ever in that situation where you're out and somebody who's not in control of their faculties is making a disturbance, what do you do? Do you say something? Would you have the guts to say something? I wouldn't. I didn't. I handle hecklers all the time. I handle lots of drunks and threatening people. I didn't have the guts for this. I'm not going to put myself out there and go, hey, quiet down, to the handicapper. Not me. I don't know how to make a joke out of that. I don't have that skill set. It's a sad situation. And you don't want to make people feel bad. So I don't know what to do, but I don't think there is an easy answer. But it's certainly something you should think about. I think it's easier at a baseball game. I think it's easier at, you know, at sporting events. I think it's easier at rock concerts. I think these are all easier because there's a lot of noise, a lot of extraneous noise. What about a movie? I mean, sure, it's only, what, $10, $15? But in a movie, what do? And there's probably more chance of there being somebody having outbursts in a movie than at a live performance. Because I would think the calculus goes on in your head, well, you know, I don't want to disturb the performer, so we'll take them to a movie. I get that. But what do? Are you gonna hush the handicapped person? Is that who you are? No, you're not going to do that. So, I don't know. It was just a really difficult situation. Show was good. Threw off my timing, though. And it got worse as the show went on. I mean, I'm up there 45 minutes, an hour. It's a long night for this young lady. I mean, the show's an hour and a half. Hour 15, hour and a half. So it's a long night. But I didn't have the guts to say anything. The club didn't have the guts to say anything. As far as I could tell, the audience didn't have the guts to say anything. If guts is even the right word, I don't even know if it is, to be brutally honest. I don't know if that's the right word. And I don't think you would. But maybe you're better than me. Maybe you have an answer. Let me know. So I know next time. Email me. Davin@davinsden.com. Let me know. Maybe you can help me. Because I needed it that night. I mean, the show was good. But when you're just trying to collect your thoughts on stage and go, okay, where am I going to go next? Let me take what's going on. And you hear noises where there's not supposed to be noises and you can't address it. It can be a game changer. Not going to lie. But all right. I just wanted to bring that to your attention, to discuss that with you. Joe and Pip will join us when we come back. We're going to talk about another hard topic. We got a U.S. veteran, 2 tours in Afghanistan, suffering PTSD, about to get deported on a non-violent drug charge. So don't go anywhere. I don't know what it is. But anyway, here we go.
Lisa says we're back.
And now I gotta start off.
Passion and conviction, all sides.
Stop talking! We are... Now I gotta sneeze. Excuse me, fighting through a cold tonight, kids. We're back. You're listening to Davin's Den, middle of a blizzard. I got a cold, and it's getting worse. And we're fighting through tech issues, but that's neither here nor there. So let's just get through this show so I can go to bed. So we got this military veteran in Chicago. Came to the United States as an 8-year-old boy. His parents brought him here. He is not a legal citizen. They did not come legally. He has legalized permanent residence, but that's not the same as citizenship. So he serves 2 tours of duty in Afghanistan. Honorably discharged, got medals, served well. Suffers from PTSD. Comes home, commits a non-violent drug act. And now, because of the increased scrutiny by ICE under the new president, he has a hearing. So now a judge has to decide, do we send this veteran who fought for our country, do we send him back to Mexico, or do we keep him here? Now, if he goes back to Mexico, what happens is these drug cartels find out that these soldiers have a specialized skill set, and they give them a choice. You fight with us, the Mexican drug cartel, or we kill you. That's the choice that happens when they get deported. I don't know how they know these things. So this Mexican who fought for our country and cries when he hears the Star Spangled Banner is facing this and suffers from PTSD. And now there's a hearing. Should he be deported?
Yes, he should be.
What do you say, Pip?
I don't think that he should.
I agree with you, and I will tell you what I was talking to some Trump veterans. One of them was a veteran. Some Trump fans this weekend. One of them was a Vietnam vet. The other not. Avid Trump guy is very happy with what Donald Trump has done. Told them this story. Both of them said he should absolutely not be deported. His service takes precedent over the felony drug crime, which he served his time for.
I think the felony drug crime should negate the service that he had. I mean, he made a conscious decision and decided to commit a drug crime. He should be deported.
Well, if he's suffering from PTSD, maybe he wasn't in his right mind when he did it.
You want to know something? That needs to be determined, maybe in the hearing. If he was, maybe they'll take that into consideration. If not, he needs to be deported. It's simple as that. I mean, you did serve your country. It was admirable, but you did commit a felony drug crime.
But why should he be deported when he's done more for this country than anybody on this show?
Because he committed a felony drug crime.
Yeah, but that's a simple reason.
You're sugarcoating around it. You're saying it's not a violent drug offense. You know what? A little bit of weed in the car, that's a non-violent drug offense. A felony drug crime is a felony drug crime.
Could have been an eight ball.
That's the thing. You know, if he didn't commit this, it would be a problem. Like I said, if ICE turned out to do a raid or went to where he worked or something like that and said, you have to go, and he did not commit a crime, there's a lot to talk about.
No, no, they picked him up after he served his time for the crime.
I understand that, but still.
Well, they didn't pick him up committing the crime.
On his record, and he should be deported. He should have thought of that before he committed the crime. It's accountability.
He thought he was a citizen. He thought he was a U.S. citizen.
He thought he was a U.S. citizen?
Yes. He thought that once you serve, you become a U.S. citizen. He was wrong. But even the Vietnam vet who I was talking to, actually, no, the Vietnam vet didn't think that. The other gentleman who I was talking to this weekend also thought that once you serve, you become a U.S. citizen. That is not the case.
Okay, fine. And he committed a felony drug crime. A felony drug crime is a felony drug crime. You know, if you committed that crime, that kind of negates what you did. He committed a crime. It was a felony.
So you're sentencing him to possible death. Is what
you want to know something? He should have. For somebody that didn't even know the law that he was a citizen, that could have looked up in the service, he should have thought about that before he committed a crime.
So you're going to explain that to his family, to his mom, his kids. He should have known. This guy risked his life twice in Afghanistan. He should have known. You're going to have that conversation? I don't think you will.
You know why? Because he should have had enough responsibility to his family and to himself to not commit a felony drug crime. You got to be accountable.
But here's the problem. Human beings are not perfect. Human beings make mistakes. He made a mistake. He served his time.
You know what? 2 + 2 = 7 is a mistake, okay?
No, that's an alternate fact.
Legally, knowingly, he committed a felony. and if you commit a felony drug crime, regardless, if it comes up from review and you have found out that you committed a felony drug crime and you're an alien, you need to be deported. The same way if you commit a felony drug crime and you're a citizen, it affects your right to vote, affects your right to get a job. It's a decision that keeps people from committing crimes, the consequences. He did not think of the consequences. It's not our problem if he did not consider the consequences.
Well, that's just it, Joe.
That's just it for himself.
You see, he's not out for himself. He sacrificed for this country.
That's admirable. But when he got back, he made a conscious decision to make a felony drug crime, and that in itself is something to be. You know, if you're an alien, you need to be deported. If he did not commit that felony drug, and let's say it clearly again, not something that he didn't hurt, a felony drug crime. That's his problem, and that's a decision he made. Now, hear me out. If they discover that he made this crime due to PTSD, then we revisit it. However, if it did not be a consequence of that, he needs to be deported.
Well, you are the only Trump supporter, and I've talked to several, who feels this way. Everybody else...
Well, I guess I'm out of the pack, but basically that is the way it is. Maybe because these gentlemen you've talked to were in the service, and I was not.
No, just one of them was. Just one of them was. Another was a comic, and another was a civilian.
Like I said, if he served the country, which he did, and he's just trying to make his way, and for some reason he got pulled over for running a stop sign, and he said, "Well, you're an alien. You got to go by." Absolutely, he needs to. You know, he needs to stay, serve his country. But once you knowingly make a felony drug crime, you need to pay the consequences. You didn't think of your family. You didn't think of yourself.
He didn't know.
How do you not know? You're committing a federally felony drug crime.
No, he didn't know that he wasn't a U.S. citizen. We don't even know what the drug crime was.
We have to hold his hand because he's stupid enough not even to know that.
We hold your hand over the stupid things you do.
But you want to know something? Knowing important things like that, if I'm a United States citizen or not, you should know. Knowing that a felony drug offense could affect your family and your life, you should know that. And if it's a conscious decision we make. You know, I mean, would I like to run through a jewelry store and grab jewelry and run out? Sure, I could use the money. As a conscious citizen, laws are placed because you need to have some regularity and accountability in our lives. And people need to be accountable for their actions. And a lot of times we're in this consciousness in the country right now that people, like Black Lives Matter, all this other stuff, that, you know, people are not accountable for their actions.
All right, don't, don't, don't conflate this with Black Lives Matter.
But what I'm making it is, with the Black Lives Matter, is that the people that they've been representing are people that were arrested on felonies and all this other stuff. They're picking the wrong cause. This gentleman was arrested and convicted on a felony drug crime. He needs to be deported.
Well, Donald Trump said that he's very compassionate. You know, Donald Trump likes to say, nobody has a bigger heart than me. Donald Trump can change all this. Donald Trump could sign an executive order.
What, saying that a drug felon should stay in the country?
No, saying that if a vet gets picked up for a drug crime, we're going to try to get them the help they need here.
So the help they need, but we got to find out why he did that. You know, the help you need, you committed a federal drug crime. You should know if you need the help you need, you go to see a counselor. You don't commit a felony drug crime. You know, we're in a status of this country right now where nobody seems to be. We have to respect and powder everybody's tush when they refuse to be accountable for their actions.
All right. Let's not say you're powdering somebody's tush for a guy who sacrificed himself in two tours of duty. Let's not say that. He's tougher than you. So let's not make it that you're the tough guy here.
It does not dictate whether I'm a tough guy or not.
No, but you're trying to make it sound like you are. You're trying to make it.
I have enough common sense not to make a felony drug.
Listen. You're trying to make it sound like this guy needs to have his tush powdered, as you said. This guy, they don't come.
No, you're making it seem like that.
No, you said it. You said it.
Drug defense.
Listen, man. You're in the minority in this. I think if you serve honorably, then we should expedite your path to citizenship. That should be a law, and the Congress should make that happen. All right. When we come back, an interview with Barack Obama, and we debut a new song about Donald Trump. We are back. You are listening to Davin's Den. We are very honored. We have a special guest calling in, the 44th President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. How are you, President Obama?
Davin, how are you?
I am very well. I'm suffering from a cold, but, you know, thank God we still have the Obamacare, so I should be all right.
I hear you. Hopefully, we're able to keep that up.
Yeah, I'm not very optimistic, but, you know. Listen, it's all about you. It's not about me and my illnesses and how I'm going to be cast off into the street. Not about that tonight. It's about you, Mr. President.
Well, thank you.
I've seen some pictures of you windsurfing. You know, how have you been doing since you left office? What have you been doing?
I've been good. Are you familiar, Davin, with Snapchat?
A little bit.
I have become quite the Snapchat enthusiast. I'm a big fan of the bunny face. Big fan.
Really?
I've also become quite the Candy Crush enthusiast.
Really?
That's right. I've been crushing a whole lot of candy.
Candy Crush is kind of old, though, Mr. President. I mean, it seems
yeah,
like a
well, you know, it's my thing. I got it from a shop. You know, neither of us are part of that millennial generation.
Okay. Well, I mean, what do you miss? What do you miss the most about being president?
Probably, Davin, all the free weed. A lot of people don't know this. Actually, most people don't know. But every American president gets a free stash of marijuana.
Really?
Provided by the Secret Service. Because, Davin, in all honesty, being president is a stressful job. And the Secret Service, they know this, and they provide us all with weed in order to relax, decompress, and do a better job.
When did this start? Is this a new tradition, or has this been going on?
Davin, this started in the Bill Clinton administration. He was the very first one.
So, is President Trump on weed? Is this President Trump on weed?
You know, Davin, there's no way that I could say whether or not President Trump is on weed. I would say more probably Adderall or cocaine.
Well, people have thought he was on cocaine because of the sniffing, but that's quite the accusation. You wouldn't accuse President Trump of being on cocaine, would you?
Well, I mean, look, the guy comes from New York City, works with a lot of finance guys, and as we all know, anyone who's seen the Wolf of Wall Street film, New York City finance guys and cocaine go together like peanut butter and jelly. So, draw your own conclusions.
I think you just did. I think you just made an accusation. But I will, you know. But you know, these days presidents are making accusations. You're the victim of an accusation, President Trump.
Well, look, you know, President Trump. If there's anything he knows about me, it's that you know, as he's clearly stated so many times, I was born in Kenya, and to be honest. Only American-born presidents are able to wiretap. Kenyan-born presidents cannot. So, I mean, according to Mr. Trump's own words, there is no way that I could have wiretapped him
well,
as a Kenyan.
So
as a Kenyan American president.
So you didn't believe his apology when he was running, or when he said that you were born in America. You think that was just a distraction?
I think he might have been full of shit.
Okay. Remember, Mr. President, you know, think about this as a State of the Union. We can't be cursing.
No, my bad.
That's all right. You know, you're off the...
God bless America.
God bless America. Yeah, you're off the presidential weed. I understand.
That's right.
So did you... I mean, nobody's listening to this show. Just you and I. Two pals talking. Did you wiretap President Trump's tower?
Is the Pope Catholic? Kidding. You know, I'm going to have to say maybe not.
So you're not going to give me an answer? You're not going to tell me?
Yeah, it's all right. Bobbity boop, boobity bop.
Okay. I know your time is limited. Last question. In 140 characters or less, can you describe what you think of President Trump?
Okay, here we go. In the form of a tweet, President Trump, you stink. That's it.
That's it?
Hashtag stat.
Wow. All right, so you're not a fan?
Not a big fan.
Okay, well, listen, I appreciate the honesty. You know, I'm sure when President Trump hears this interview, he will respond in kind like only President Trump can. I mean, I would expect to be called sad, sick, bad, any of those words, I think you might be called that, Mr. President.
Well, I say bring it on.
Okay. Thank you, President Obama.
Thank you.
All right. You have a great night.
And, David, may God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America and your show.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and the best to the family.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was President Trump. I mean, President Obama. Seemed like he was on weed a little bit now. seemed a little stoned. But who am I to judge? But I'm going to debut a new song from Daryl Rhodes as soon as I find it. Here we go. This is Daryl Rhodes' new song about... Is this frozen again? Frozen again. Just stop it. Don't worry. Oh, no. There we go. There we go. Is it working? Damn. Oh, no. It's working. All right. I'll edit that out. Daryl Rhodes' new song about President Trump, Mr.
Hey, Mr. Con Man, send me a tweet. Write something mean and nasty for us to read. You always use the greatest words, including some that I've never heard. Hey, Mr. Bigley, attack the Hollywood elite. If Jesus disagreed, I know you would tweet. And if he came back, I'm sure without fail, some Trumpsters would furnish the hammers and nails. You'll close the borders and build a wall, insult our allies with one single call. You're up all night and never sleep, Mr. Thinskin, send us a tweet. Rosie O'Donnell,
disgusting.
You called her a pig. Insult the Pope and the system was rigged. Your skin's so thin that we can see through it. Grab women by the crotch and say they let you do it. Your insults, I thought were an act.
Terrible.
What used to be lies are now alternative facts. Don't piss on my head and call it rain. Mr. Thin Skin, tweet me, cause you can bleed me. Mr. Con Man, tweet me again.
Dower Rhodes and Mr. Con Man, more show. We're back. You're listening to Davin's Den. We just spoke with President Obama and debuted a new song. Now we'll do some comics in the news.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
Samantha Bee. Oh, Sam, what happened? A full frontal. Pip, you watch that show?
Yeah, I do. I like it.
I do, too. I'm a big fan. Joe, not for your eyes.
No.
you would be displeased. You would throw things at your wife's television. She would make you pay for it, and it would be a worse night than you could imagine.
And that's exactly what would happen.
Yes. Very liberal show. The heir apparent to John Stewart. Anyway,
right.
She aired a segment about CPAC, which is the Conservative Political Action Conference. Sounds like a good time. Sounds like fun people.
Sounds like hell.
Well, the segment mocked several attendees for having, quote, Nazi hair.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the people shown was Outset Network contributor Kyle Coddington. Turns out he had a good reason for his Nazi hair, kids. He has stage 4 brain cancer.
Yeah, boy.
And he recently completed chemotherapy and radiation treatments. So
yeah, that's unfortunate.
On many levels.
Right.
Yes.
Full Frontal responded by putting out a statement of its own on social media apologizing for the joke. It said, "We deeply apologize for offending at that Kyle in our CPAC segment. The apology reads, we only learned of his condition today and have removed him from the piece. The purpose of the Full Frontal segment was to compare the Conservative Conference over the years. Last year's CPAC was dominated by, quote, chirpy little, I'll say poops, with bow ties," the show noted. "But the conference has evolved," the show noted. "This year, the bow ties were gone, replaced by Nazi hair." Coddington tweeted at B about the segment, jokingly asked the late night host to delete him from it because he, quote, "looks like a balding potato." Joe, was that you?
Funny.
He followed that up.
Potato head, I made you.
He followed that up saying, "It's not Nazi haircut. Richard Spencer's is, but mine is not." Of course, Spencer is the alt-right founder who was punched in the face during an interview. I don't know. I kind of think since, like, Samantha B immediately apologized, all should be forgiven.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah, it was. It was a mistake. You know, and you know, the funny thing is that this whole thing of outrage and outrage on both sides of the aisle, it's got to be this. You know, I mean, I know that she's very liberal. She didn't know this gentleman had cancer. She made her political comment, which she has the constitutional right. She discovered that this poor gentleman's got, you know, cancer, and she apologized immediately. All good.
Well,
all good. So anybody that has outrage is wrong.
Well, it does speak to the danger, though, of generalizing.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you lump people in a group, invariably, somebody's not really part of that group.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, but, Yeah, it was an honest mistake, you know. And she was kind enough, you know, she was kind enough and did the right thing about apologizing immediately for it.
Listen, I'll leave it with this. Comedically, there is nothing worse than goofing on somebody with cancer. All right.
Yes, exactly.
Don't go anywhere. More show. All right, kids, WikiLeaks. You guys like WikiLeaks?
Yay!
I bet you'll like WikiLeaks a couple of months ago. Those were good times. WikiLeaks released thousands of pages describing sophisticated software tools and techniques used by the CIA to break into smartphones, computers, and even internet-connected televisions. They include instructions for compromising a wide range of common computer tools for use in spying, the online calling service Skype, Wi-Fi networks, documents in PDF format, and even commercial antivirus programs like we're using, of the kind used by millions of other people, too. Hopefully their computer's working better than mine tonight. A program called Wrecking Crew explains how to crash a targeted computer, and another tells how to steal passwords using the autocomplete function on Internet Explorer. I didn't even know there was such a function.
Really?
No.
Other programs were called Crunchy Lime Skies, Elder Piggy, Anger Quake, and McNugget.
Sounds like a menu option.
I feel like they were like coming up with these names while they were stoned.
Yeah. At least these awful people have a sense of humor.
No, this is the CIA who came up with the names.
Yeah, I know. Well, at least they got a sense of humor.
Okay. The initial release, which WikiLeaks said was only the first installment in a larger collection of secret CIA material, included 7,818 web pages with 943 attachments, many of them partly redacted by WikiLeaks editors to avoid disclosing the actual code for cyber weapons. Oh, they took precautions.
Aw, how cute.
And one revelation that may especially trouble the tech world if confirmed, WikiLeaks said that the CIA and allied intelligence services have managed to compromise both Apple and Android smartphones, allowing their officers to bypass the encryption on popular services such as Signal, WhatsApp, and Telegram. According to WikiLeaks, the government hackers can penetrate smartphones and collect audio and message traffic before encryption is applied. So even when you think you're being safe and you have everything encrypted, not so much.
Well, you know, nowadays with everything going, you're saving everything into the cloud and stuff like that. I mean, you kind of wonder how safe all that is.
I most certainly
do. Just
in
general, you know?
There's no evidence that the CIA hacking tools have been used against Americans, but Ben Wisner, the director of America... What?
That there's no evidence that it's been used against Americans, so that means it hasn't, right?
I do know of a microwave that has transformed itself into a camera, but that is neither here nor
yes.
there. Anyway, Ben Wisner, director of American Civil Liberties Union Speech, Privacy and Technology Project, said the documents suggest that the government has deliberately allowed vulnerabilities in phones and other devices to persist to make spying easy. So they know that there's these weaknesses, but they're telling the manufacturers, just leave that be.
Yeah, that's great.
There are suspicions Russia provided the information to WikiLeaks as part of the hacking of Democrats. One program named Weeping Angel uses Samsung, quote, smart televisions as covert listening devices, according to the WikiLeaks news release. Even when it appears to be turned off, the television operates as a bug, recording the conversations in the room and sending them over the internet to a covert CIA server. There you go.
Alexa, please send this conversation to the Russians.
Oh, you don't want Alexa.
No.
No, that's a little spy. Don't trust Alexa. She's got a nice voice. It seems really pliable and nice, like the type of chick you want to hang out with. Don't trust Alexa.
Yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, Anthony Cumey was doing the similar story on his show and mentioned actually, you know, how household appliances can pick up stuff now. And he actually mentioned Alexa, how Alexa could, you know, probably pick that up right off the bat as well.
Well,
like your likes, your preferences.
I hope you messaged Anthony and told him he's about a year too late. We already did that.
Well, he actually said, uh-oh.
I'm glad he's aware. I got to be honest, though. I'm not really surprised that the CIA has this capability. I'd be surprised if they didn't have this capability.
No, and
yeah, really.
And basically the whole thing, I do a bit in my act that their refrigerators that are being sold now have the capacity to log your personal preferences and send it out over the Internet. Also, that whole thing with the microwave where everybody's laughing at it, there was a microwave introduced that does have the capacity to capture video and transmit it over the Internet. So as much as technology progresses, our personal space is being invaded.
Yeah, I mean,
the heck do you need a microwave that films you?
Well, I mean, have you seen me dance in my underwear in the kitchen? It's very entertaining.
I have. It's very upsetting.
Oh, you say hurtful things. Don't you have bugs to deal with?
I do. not the WikiLeaks kind of bugs. Yeah.
But
maybe.
Here's the question. Are you glad that WikiLeaks made us aware? Like, some people were happy when Snowden did.
Yeah.
Well, I was happy that Snowden did, because I think that with the American public being spied on by their own government is something that we should have been aware of.
But what about this? Does this please you?
Not necessarily, only because, I mean, I am on the fence about it, because I think that it does detract from the CIA's ability to catch bad people doing things. So I'm on the fence.
Yeah, I'm on the fence. You know, I look at it this way. If I've got nothing to hide, it's not a big deal. If I've got nothing to hide, they could care less about me. You know, it's like driving past a police officer.
I think it's very interesting that Donald Trump is outraged by this, but he was fine. He was like, say when he was campaigning, I love WikiLeaks. This is all part of the same thing.
Yeah, I know. But when it was beneficial to him during the election, you know, it's like anything else.
Ay.
Sometimes, you know, like sometimes if it benefits you, you know, it's you know, why not? But it's just a very interesting thing. Maybe if he knew about this at the time of the election, maybe he would have second thoughts. I mean, basically, it was information about Hillary Clinton. If somebody posed to him during the election on this subject, it would have been interesting how he would have answered then.
Do you think it makes a difference if the source is Russians or if it was like a CIA worker who gave this to WikiLeaks? Does it change the opinion? Like, I think if it's the Russians, it's even worse for some reason, even though the result is the same.
Well, the results is if they picked it up off of us, you know, it's in our own house. If it was picked up off the Russians, it's being picked up from somebody else's house.
Yeah, I just don't I don't like the Russians doing this stuff.
I don't like it anyway. That's why they're the enemy.
Well, I'm glad you understand that. Tell the president.
Enemies do that.
maybe you could walk in there with one of those camera microphones and have a heart to heart with the president. Little gift. All right. We got to get out of here. We want to thank comedian Jason Scoop, who was Barack Obama. You can follow Jason Scoop on Twitter at Jason Scoop, just like it sounds, J-A-S-O-N, Scoop, at Twitter and on Instagram, same handle. Also, Daryl Rhodes for the Trump song Con Man. You can download it at Bandcamp.com, and you just type in Daryl Rhodes, D-A-R-R-Y-L-R-H-O-A-D-E-S, Daryl Rhodes. Friday, March 24th, I'll be in Bergenfield, New Jersey at Tommy Fox's. For tickets, call 384-0900, 201-384-0900. Thank you guys for listening. As always, listen to the full unedited show, davinsden.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, at davinsden. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.